I'm Sarah Littman. Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be learning Sefer Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 25. This chapter opens with the statement, Gam Eila Mishlei Shlomo. These two are the Mishalim, the Proverbs, of Shlomo, Asher Hetiku Anshei Chizkiah Melech Yehuda, which were compiled by the men of King Chizkiah, Hezekiah, king of Yehuda. King Chizkiah was the 15th in the dynasty of kings following King Shlomo, son of King David. The difference between the parables, the Mashalim, in this third section of the book of Mishlei, starting from chapter 25 and continuing through chapter 31, and books 1 and 2, which are chapters 1 through 9 and 10 through 24, is that the previous chapters were the writings of King Shlomo himself. They were written down, shared, and circulated by King Shlomo to his children and also to the community and society around him. Shlomo was a prolific writer and also an exceptional teacher and educator. The Mashalim and teachings of these chapters, starting with 25 and continuing through the end of the book, through chapter 31, are teachings of King Shlomo's that were written by him, but were found in his own personal writings and other notes and sources which were not made available to the public at the time. During the era of King Chizkiah, there was an enormous swing and movement towards greater Torah learning. As a result of that, the king and his court gathered together all the extant writings of Shlomo HaMelech and compiled them together into the organized chapters that we have here, 25 through 31. As Rav Sadia Gaon puts it, these were the oral tradition of the family of King Shlomo, his descendants, and the court of King Chizkiyahu committed them to writing. As indicated by the next verse, which we'll get to shortly, the Vilna Gaon points out that the teachings from chapter 25 onward were even more profound, more deep than the prior teachings, and therefore they're more deeply hidden in metaphor than those of the two earlier books. It seems likely that Shlomo HaMelech did not publish or disseminate those teachings for the same reason. The sages of the Talmud indicate that there was some uncertainty as to whether they should be published in the canon of Tanakh together with the other parts of Mishlei. Ultimately, they were included on the basis that they are more deeply shrouded in Mashal, in the hidden, more superficial layer of the story or of the parable. That makes it require greater knowledge and greater tradition from one's teachers in order to tease out the deeper meaning. We might consider these chapters to be the personal notes of the deeper Torah of King Shlomo, not fully decipherable unless we have the person who took the notes or someone who heard it from them available to explain them to us. The overall theme of this third of the three books of Mishlei is Bina, insight, and specifically Torah. Most of the mashals, most of the teachings of Mishlei in this third book from chapter 25 onward are speaking about the topic of Torah and its power. And thus verse 2, Kvod Elokim Haster Davar uChvod Melachim Chakor Davar. The honor, the glory of God, is that a matter is kept private, but it is an honor and glory for kings that a matter is researched. In addition to introducing us to the idea of kavod, honor, or glory, which is a subject that appears at least four times in this chapter, that's seven times more commonly than it appears elsewhere in the book of Mishlei, and 26 times more frequently than it appears in other parts of Tanakh. This verse also indicates that there is a glory and honor to God in the hiding of certain things. While in the case of God and his workings, many things are secret or private. They're not all fit for us to know. We're not capable of understanding it all. Chvod Melachim Chakor Davar. When it comes to a human king, it is much more honorable that things be outside, researchable, and transparent. God's secrets are deep and ultimately always good. But if a person has to keep something secret, it suggests that there's either something wrong with them and what they're doing, or there's something wrong with the people they have to keep it from. This is true most of all when it comes to public life. The government of a ruler is never honored by secrecy. In the Jewish world, secret politics are bad politics. Kvod Melachim Chakor Davar. The glory of kings is when their deeds can be clear and transparent. Everyone can understand them. publicity and openness is a touchstone for the doings of rulers. It is only when it comes to God and his method of rulership that we say, Kvod Elokim Haster Davar. It is impossible to grasp the depth and breadth of God's justice, of his infinite rule, and that attests to his greatness. This word kavod, honor, glory, what is it really about? Let's start at the first instance of a word sharing this root. In Bereshit chapter 12, we read, Vayehi ra'av ba'aretz, vayered Avram Mitzrayma. There was a famine in the land, and Avram went down to Egypt, lagur sham, to dwell there, ki chaved ha-ra'av ba'aretz, because the famine was heavy in the land, kaved. This is related to the word kavod, honor or glory. So this first appearance of this root is a famine making a strong impact on the land. It is affecting people, changing their lives. They need to respond and react. The famine is heavy or weighty. Avram responds to this impact by responding to the message. Avram himself was wealthy. Presumably he wasn't starving, but he understood there was a message conveyed to him by God through the events around him. He saw God's influence. He heard God's call in the events and situations around him. This, of course, is classic of how Avram learned it all. The Rambam, Maimonides, teaches that Avram began his career by allowing his mind to wander and explore. He wondered, how is it possible that the sun could constantly rise and set so consistently, bringing so much power and energy to everything around? He understood when he looked at the workings of nature that not only were they great, mighty, and powerful, they were being controlled and created by a greater, higher, mightier force than themselves. Avram consistently saw God's influence, heard God speaking to him through observation of the world and the events around him. Now, in truth, God's work in nature and in history and his words in Torah are open and available to us to read. It's up to us to search him out, to search out the messages that are spoken to us and available to us. In doing so, we can behold God's kavod, his honor, his glory, his presence in all that is, all that comes into being, and all that can be understood. And in this, we learn to understand his will for us and to us more clearly. At any moment in my life, I can ask myself, how have I been positioned so that I can perform God's will with these means, with these strengths, with these skills, these abilities, this experience that I have, and the limitations that I have at this moment, here and now? Let's see where this understanding takes us further. The next appearance of the root word kavod, of honor or glory, or weightiness, like the heaviness of the famine, is in Bereshit chapter 18. Vayomer Hashem zaka sedom va'amora ki rabba, v'chatasam ki chavda me'od. And God said, the cry of Sodom and Amorah is already great, and their sin weighs very heavily. So something which is kaved is heavy. It's difficult to move. It's more likely to make an impression on you than you are to make an impression on it. Thus in Shmos chapter 8, the Hachbedes Libo, Pharaoh hardens his heart. He's setting himself up to make an impression on others and has no interest in being impressed. So where does the honor and the glory come into the kavod here? In Bereshit chapter 45, Yosef tells his brothers, Vehigatatem le'avi es kol kvodi b'mitzrayim. Tell my father all of my kavod, all of my weightiness, the impression I make, how strong I am, my honor in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. So there is kaved, which is heaviness, and there is kavod, which is, in a spiritual and moral sense, what weightiness denotes in a material sense. Kavod then denotes the spiritual moral essence of something and the extent to which it is revealed, the extent to which it makes an impression, the extent to which it holds weight in our eyes. So, for example, when the Torah speaks of Kavod Hashem, the glory of God being revealed, God's presence is always there. Kvod Hashem is when God's presence is sensible and tangible to us. It makes an impression. This leads us to a wonderful teaching in Bamidbar chapter 4. Al pi Hashem pakadosam biyad Moshe ish ish al avodaso ve'al masa'o ufkudav asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. According to the commandments of God, they were counted by the hand of Moshe. Each Levite, according to his service, according to his burden, they were counted by him as God commanded Moshe. Rabbi Ovadia of Sephorno teaches, in order to fulfill his obligation, every Levite had to know the weight of his burden. They had to know the weight of the vessel that they carried. They also had to know the name and function. It's not enough to carry part of God's temple. We have to know its weight, its value, its purpose, its name, its job. Without that, our role is not really complete. In our lives, we all carry a certain burden of God's temple. We serve Him through the jobs that we do. If we just do them without finding out about them, we haven't really begun the job. The job really begins when we understand the essential nature and the purpose of our mission, so we can actualize and make our contribution unique and also on target with its goal in service of God. There's a role that I'm going to play, and I should align myself so that who I am and that role are in beautiful synchronicity. What about the honor that we give others? The real respect and honor that we offer to others is a response to their perceived weight, their importance, their meaning, and their impression that they make upon us. How much impact does this person have on my life as I see it? Thus, in Tractate Avos, Ben Zoma taught that just as wisdom and wealth and strength have internal yardsticks and measures of success, we're not compared to other people. That's true also of honor, kavod. Ezehu mechubad hamechabed es habrios. Who is honored or honorable? One who honors others. And what verse proves it? Ki mechabdaya chabed uvozi yekalu. God says, I will honor those who honor me. A person who honors other people, who gives respect to other people, is someone who can see the importance of other people, that they have innate human value that cannot be destroyed or hidden. In other words, a divine soul. And in honoring the divine soul, you honor God Himself. God says, if you honor others, you are honoring me. And in doing so, you reveal the kavod of your own divine soul. Respect for the inner value and importance of other people demonstrates your being worthy of the same respect. And all of that is truly, at its core, respect for God and His honor. The Torah tells us, Kabed es avicha ve'es imecha, honor your father and your mother. Parents, biological and adopted, give a child physical existence, but also a link to their history, to the historic truths of the Jewish people, the giving of the Torah, the exodus from Egypt. These are foundational to our relationship with God directly. Our starting point for our relationship with God is our relationship with our parents. We grow from there. When we see people, when we see the world, when we see creation as they really are, everything and everyone around us is a facet that shines another aspect of God's glory into the world and gives me greater awareness of His presence, imminent and awesome. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'olamo lo v'ra'o ela lichvodo. All that God created in the world has the ability to shine His glory and honor into it. With this in mind, let's take a look at the verses in chapter 25 of Mishle. Verse 2. Kvod Elokim haster davar uchvod melachim chakor davar. The glory of God is that a matter is kept private, but in honor for kings, that a matter is researched. And in verse 27, Achol tvash harbos lo tov. Eating a lot of honey is not good. V'cheker kvodam kavod. But researching, delving into the honor of those who are honored, lends honor. There are some things, like honey, which are sweet, but only in very small amounts, and preferably in combination with something else. A kid who eats too much junk food discovers that sweetness isn't actually healthy. The more you know about junk food, the less happy you are about it. It's pretty fun at the moment, though. But there are some things that get better the more you know about them. The more you observe, watch, learn, hear about the actions of a righteous person, the more Torah you learn, the deeper you go, the sweeter, the more wholesome it gets, and the more your respect grows. Thank you for learning together with me, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.